3, 2, 1.
All right, everybody. Welcome to episode 1 of the Strength Academy. I'm Grayson Starner, here with Raymundo Gardea. How you doing, Mundo?
I'm doing pretty good. What's up, y'all?
All right, so we've got no script and half a plan, so welcome to episode... Really, we're going to call it episode 0.5. We're just going to see how this goes today. We want to talk about some new weight classes, because... everyone's gossiping about the weight classes, so we might as well get in on that too. Talk about what we want to do to help our people fit into those classes, and probably just ramble about something.
Yeah, a bunch of different stuff. The new weight classes just came out from USAW on Thursday, July 5th, and it caused a bunch of uproar. There's a lot of classes that are changing for people that had Olympic hopes. And some of those hopes are either going to get dashed or they're going to get altered. For our people specifically, though, what did you have in mind, Grayson, for the women's part of the team?
So, for the most part, we don't have any Olympic hopefuls at the moment. So, really fitting into your nearest comfortable weight class. We've got a couple people that are teetering in between right now. If they're naturally sitting... maybe 1 kilo above whatever new weight class came out, they might just be done with their bulk for the year, try to maintain and train at that 1 kilo over, and then cut down last minute. But I think for a lot of our people, moving up is usually going to be the right direction. We want to make sure that it's a strength sport, and that as you're continuing to train, you're continuing to get stronger, and that means adding muscle mass for the most part.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. Most people aren't going to cut down. If you're close and you're riding the line between a weight class that's a little more competitive, but you can cut down to a lighter one and still have some roughly competitive numbers, then yeah, maybe that might be a good choice. But like Grayson said, overall, getting stronger requires putting on a little bit more size and getting your numbers up that way.
It'll be interesting to see, though. We've got a lot of people doing a lot of different dietary approaches in the gym. I don't like to be very dogmatic with what our athletes are doing for nutrition. We've got people doing ketogenic diets, low FODMAP diets, vegan diets, carnivore diets. We've got people doing a little bit of everything because there isn't one way that works best for anyone. So if you're looking to move up or move down, the first step is really figuring out what kind of diet can you do that you're going to actually comply. Because if you are not the type of person that can weigh and measure and eat 6 times a day, you might not be apt for the RP meal template. If you're just undisciplined, you can't make that sort of thing happen. Some people just keep getting fat when they eat that many carbs. I think we've both seen it. Like people try to lose weight and they buy if it fits your macros or doing something along those lines. It's like, man, it's just really not coming off. It's like, yeah, I mean, you just might be one of those people that needs to not eat quite so many carbs in a day.
Right, yeah. And there was this 2-week period right after Masters Nationals where I was trying to bulk up and I was eating or drinking Sonic shakes every night for like 2 weeks straight. And I just felt so terrible. And I gained maybe 1 kilo, but it was just garbage weight. And I know for some people, they have body composition goals and things like that, but most of the time, you're going to have a little bit of unwanted weight gain to be able to change that into more muscle mass and just get heavier in general. It's not always going to be perfect. And like Grayson said, there's a process to, the way you eat, how you're going to fit all your macros in, the amount of carbs you eat, protein intake. It all ties together, and it's really individualized. Nobody reacts the same way to the same diet. That's why nutrition is such a tough topic for a lot of people to agree on. But the main thing is getting our people to the right weight class, having them feel good, be strong, and at the end of the day, just putting their best effort forward to make good lifts in competition.
And I mean, I think that, you shouldn't, as a lifter, especially a new lifter, you shouldn't really be worrying about your weight category. You should be eating to recover, eating enough food that you're not feeling beat up and tired between training sessions. Because when you're on a cut, your training is just not going to feel as good if you're trying to keep your body weight down. And if you're training, you know, and trying to limit how much weight you're putting on, you're just going to hold yourself back in the gym. Yeah. Until you've really been training for a couple of years, you should really just be competing where you sit and then just trying to get stronger and seeing where your body wants to be. Because you'll settle in at a certain weight.
Right.
Like, for me, you know, the 85-kilo class kind of ended up being my baseline. And it wasn't necessarily a straight-out-of-the-gate goal to do that. It was just eating a lot and training a lot, and then I just kind of naturally hovered around that area. But that being said, so I know that you're kind of in a position where competing at 69, you're having to choose between moving up to 73 after the Masters Worlds here next month or dropping back down to try to maintain at 67. So I know my opinion on this. So I know that you're a little bit torn though. So let's maybe talk about what factors are influencing your decisions. Why are you torn one way or another? Pros and cons.
Okay. So I knew the new weight classes were going to come up. I just didn't know where the numbers were going to be. I had already kind of been leaning toward going up a weight class anyway. And, the way the new weight classes divided up, I would have to lose 2 kilos to fit under the new weight class, which would be 67 at the lower end, and at the higher end, 73. So, and this happened with the girls too, like Maddie Rogers, for instance. She was competing as a 69, but they're going to take that weight class out and move them up to 76, would be the next Olympic competing weight class, and the next lower one for the women would be 64. So the guys, it's going to be 67 and then 73. But I wanted to be stronger. And to do that, I would have to put on a little more weight. So the determining factor for me is I want to be stronger. I might lose some competitiveness dropping down to 73, but I think in the overall long run, I'll be happier and healthier at 73 as opposed to 67. So that was a huge factor. So I'm just going to move up to 73. That'll be my new competing weight class. I'll be competing against people that were probably struggling to cut down to 69. And the 77s that can make it down to 63, but there'll be some change up because some of those 77s will move up to the 81s, probably for the same reason that I'm moving up.
Yeah, and I think that we're going to see a lot of 77s opting for 81 rather than cutting to 73. A majority of those guys are fairly well muscled as it is and really could be, you know, in their offseason, they're like walking around at 81, 82 anyway. So that would allow them to be walking around at maybe 83 and cutting to 81. I know that that's essentially what Tyler's going to be doing, is that 77 cut was always a little bit hard for him. So 81 is going to be a really good fit for him, just allowing him to not have to really starve himself into a meet. So he's going to be able to train a little bit heavier leading into the meet, recover a little bit better.
Right, and Tyler was one of our 77s that competed at Nationals this past year in Overland Park in Kansas. And currently, I think he was ranked top 20?
Somewhere close to that. Somewhere we'll have to see. We haven't checked the results since after Nationals. I don't think we've gotten a recount on that.
Okay, but before Nationals, he was ranked top 20. He had a pretty good total. I think 275 was his total?
274 and total 273 at Nationals.
Oh, okay. So yeah, he did really well. But he's one of our lifters that sat pretty heavy and it was always a struggle for him to cut down. So that 81 weight classes, he's just going to be able to maintain a good body weight and train heavy and stay relatively strong in that weight class.
Yeah, so that should be really good for a lot of our people there. The weight classes in general, you know, a lot of people kind of get upset about them, but you can't really control what the IWF's going to do. It's just make your goals centered around what you can do with those body weight classes. So if you're, you know, looking to be a little bit more competitive, kind of seeing where you lay in, most of the time people are too tall for their weight class.
That's true, especially Americans.
Yeah, we tend to be, you know, if you look at the Russian height weight charts, which are all a little bit suspect because they may have been using some pharmacological supplements. But the weight to height ratios, they don't have any for women because there wasn't women's weightlifting at the time. But the gist of it is that if you're like 5'9", you should be, 95 to 100 kilos. And if you're not 5'5", you probably shouldn't be competing under 73. Yeah. You have no excuse. You just need to eat and get stronger. Because you're never going to be able to maximize that leverage without putting on a substantial amount of muscle mass.
Right. So those weight classes were weird because I'm really close to 5'8". I always round up. I'm like 5'7½". I don't care what y'all think. I'm 5'8". So technically, I should have been an 85-kilo lifter, and I was a 69. So as you can imagine, I'm pretty thin, and I think going up is just a smart move. If you're down in those weight classes and you're a bit tall. I know a guy that's probably like 6'4", and he's a 94-kilo lifter. So he really should be a super heavyweight at that height, but he's a bit thin.
And that's kind of where you have to, also weigh between like what are you trying to accomplish in weightlifting? Because if your goal is just to have this as a supplement to your, fitness lifestyle,
right,
then you probably don't need to be force feeding yourself to be walking around at that, ideal weight for your height. But if your goal is to be as competitive as you can be, you're going to need to get big enough to do that. And that's not to say that you need to just hit bodybuilding work and make your arms big. You need to be gaining muscle in your legs, in your hips, in your back, and stuff that's going to carry over.
Right.
So it's not just, doing a bunch of bodybuilding work. It's doing specific work to address, building size in the areas that are actually going to help your competition right. results.
So for a lot of people, it really comes down to competition goals. And some people have to decide what they want out of it, just like you said. And so this past week, we asked people to get us their goals, and we could help develop a plan to help them, achieve those. And some people want to be competitive, some people don't. And the reason that we wanted that is because we want to know who's taking it seriously and who's just there to lift and hang out. Either way is fine. We appreciate both club lifters and competitive lifters. But the people that don't have goals, that shows us that they're not really serious about competing. So we're going to develop the athletes and put more effort toward the athletes that want to compete, because those are the people that are going to perpetuate our club in the future. If you're not competing, nobody's going to know who you are. And if you are competing, you're obviously going to be associated with our club and with Grayson and I as coaches. And it's not that we're going to leave the club lifters behind. We love everybody that we have. You just have to understand that without a goal, without having something, some kind of mark that you need to hit, it's really hard to dedicate effort to somebody that doesn't really have, something specific in mind that they want to achieve.
And the reason we kind of encourage everyone on the team to compete in at least local meets a few times a year is that it gives your training more meaning. So if you're coming in and you're just, lifting to lift and you're kind of hoping to hit a PR, maybe you're going to be more likely to, be like, oh, I'm kind of busy today. I'm tired. I'll skip the gym. But if you know that in 10 weeks you have a local competition you're going to do and you're going to have to lift in front of people, you're going to be less likely to skip training. You're going to be more likely to do your flexibility training, take care of your food, address your sleep. So having those kind of competition goals helps get everything else in line to ensure that you're staying dedicated to the training program. So even if you're not aspiring to compete at the national level, you should still be setting some, competition goals just to keep yourself accountable and coming in, because otherwise you're not going to see as good a progress as you could, whether you're doing it for competition results or just health and fitness. It ends up being pretty hard to differentiate like what you want your goal to be, because they can be really different things. So you can if your goal is a weight loss goal, pick a competition in the weight category of the weight that you want to be. That's going to hold you accountable to your diet. And your goal is, the competition is a way of keeping you accountable to losing the weight that you want. You know, so you can use those competition things to address other aspects that you're trying to improve. And it just gives you a timetable to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And like Grayson said, so bringing it back to the weight class thing, if you're going to compete, so we're going to take a team to AO3. We're anticipating taking about 15 people, and we're going to have a wide range of the weight classes covered by our people. And if each of them has a competitive goal, so it's not about who are you going to do better than, or, you know, who you want to beat. It's about how much better than last time can you be for yourself. You know, can you beat your past competition PR? Can you fit under the new weight class and set new standards for yourself? Things are going to change for a lot of USA Weightlifting. We're moving in a new direction. There's a lot of changes for the positive that are happening. And when people set goals, they're going to work harder for them. You know, if everybody's working toward AO3, they all want to do their best. And knowing exactly what they have to do numbers-wise to either qualify or do well so that they don't end up in the J session, it really helps. It really does. I know that every time that I've trained for something, I've always pushed myself a little harder. If I was just doing it to do it, you know, you just kind of shrug it off and say, oh, well, it's not really that important. Missing a little bit of sleep isn't that important, or staying up all night drinking a bottle of wine. You know, it matters more than showing up to the gym next day and trying to hit some, you know, some good numbers. So it really does make a huge difference when you have something to aim for and something to work toward.
And your meet results are extremely measurable. So one of the hardest things with goal setting is a lot of people set kind of nebulous goals. Like, I want to get healthier or stronger, right, but they don't assign a quantitative value to those things. On your USAW membership page, you can look back at every meet that you've ever done. And with the addition of the American Open Series, it gives those people that are pretty good at the local level, are striving to get to the American Open Finals or the Nationals, it gives them a way to track. So say this year you do American Open 3 and you're in the J session, but next year you're in the D session.
Right.
That's progress over a year.
Definitely.
And that kind of gives you different ways to measure your results. And you can look back in time. And I mean, weightlifting is not something where you can measure your progress in weeks. You know, it's, oh, how much better am I than 6 months ago?
Right. Yeah.
How much better am I than a year ago? And am I continuing to refine the strength and the technique side of things? And it's not fast.
No, it's definitely not. And if you ever posted anything on Instagram and you go back maybe like a year from your old lifting videos and you just see how garbage they are compared to where you're at a year later, that's progress. I mean, just, you know, technical progress, your proficiency in hitting a lift over and over again and being consistent at it. That's definitely progress. I was looking at some of my old lifting videos. I started off doing CrossFit, and my PR was 95 pounds. It was like 40 kilos, and it was just terrible. But it's taken maybe 2.5 years to get to where I am now, and I'm not going to say that my technique's perfect. It's far from, but I've come a long way from that 95-pound snatch. So, yeah, I mean, it's measured definitely over a long period of time. It's not a get-rich-quick sport. As far as making progress, it's definitely a marathon.
Yeah, and especially if your goal is to compete at the higher end, you know, if you want to make it to an American Open or a Nationals, that might take you 5 or 6 years to get close to qualifying for it. You know, some people are freakishly talented, but, you know, for us normal folks, it takes a long time of just coming in and being consistent and keeping the eye on, I'm training for 2 years from now.
Right.
This workout today is a drop in the bucket, and it's going to be a long time before you can see that come to fruition. And keeping that long-term view Training cycles make time go faster, I'm convinced.
Yeah, they do, for sure.
How is it already week 10? What happened? Where did July go?
Yeah.
Those sort of things, definitely. When you have that long-term view, you know, the weeks just go by really fast. Because it's, oh man, it's already time for 5 rep max squat day again. I thought we just did this.
Yeah, for sure. And that kind of happened leading up to the New Mexico Games. So let's talk about the New Mexico Games a little bit. So we had 5 first place finishes, I think 1 second place finish,
and
2 third place finishes.
Yeah.
And then one of our lifters broke all 3 state records for the 69 men's weight class in the senior category. And that one's interesting because it was Riley Banez, and Riley had gone to University Nationals in April in Ogden, and he got some, I'm going to say, fair calls as far as his weight, as his jerks go, but he didn't make any of them, and he bombed out. And I know he was bummed about it, but we gave him the tools to come back with a vengeance for the New Mexico Weightlifting Championships and just destroy his previous numbers.
And that's a good example of how, you know, having that kind of long-term focus is University Nationals. We opened him up about, because he had been fairly consistent in training, we opened him up maybe 5 or 6 kilos over his best competition lift, which at a meet of that size, we probably could have opened him lower and pushed it a little bit further out. But that's just getting a feel for how he competes.
Right.
But noting, you know, competition is where you notice what you need to work on for that next cycle and you can really hammer it in. And his jerks were pretty good in training leading up, but at the day of the meet, after the weight cut, they just weren't quite as snappy. But getting called for those press outs, rather than being discouraged, he came into the gym and worked hard.
Right.
Getting that jerk position down, and the result was a 6 for 6 performance at this competition.
Yeah, that was really impressive, and it really does come down to he put in the work. We gave him the exercises he needed to do, and he did them. Some of them were really tough for him, and it was because they were areas that required improvement, and he did it. He showed up, he put in the work, and he got, you know, he accomplished his goals.
Yeah, so he's qualified for the American Open Finals now. So we should have at least 3 lifters out at that 4 lifters at that competition.
Right.
We'll have Robin Fitter, Riley, Tyler will be competing, and I think Dee is going to be competing as well. So we'll be having a good group of people out there freezing their ass off in the Midwest. In December. So essentially after American Open Series 3, we're going to be full bore focused on getting ready for the American Open Finals, and kind of using Series 3 as a test event where it's, okay, what started to look a little bit rough in this competition? So keeping an eye on those guys and seeing, okay, where are we going to be? Is it with that maximal, that third attempt lift, where are they losing position? Is it passing the knees? Is it off of the floor? Is it in the turnover? And then using what we see from that test event at Series 3 for those higher level competitors, what they're going to be needing to do going into that American Open Finals. For our intermediate lifters who this is their biggest event of the year, what we're going to be looking at is, okay, where can we place here? What is their consistency like in competition? How good are they repeating weights above 90%? Because that in itself is a skill. It's not, you know, oh, it's not a granted that you should be able to hit 95% every day. That takes practice.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to do opening at 92%, then going to 97% and 101%, that takes practice at being a master of all of those weights in between 90 and 100%. And it's not just, oh, I can hit 90% and then I make a big jump and try to go for a PR. It's, can you hit 90% and do 3 more kilos and then do 3 more kilos and then do 1 more kilo and
right.
have all of those lifts look the same. So practicing your weights not just as if it's a given that you're going to make that percentage, but just, no, I'm going to get better at hitting 95 kilos. I'm going to get better at snatching 100 kilos. So really looking at it as practicing those certain weights. This will give a majority of these lifters going to Series 3. This is their first kind of regional level meet. Lucky for us, we're hosting the American Open Series 2
yes.
here in Albuquerque next year. So this will be our baseline that we'll retest again when we get to Series 2 next year. So our gym's going to be doing the program centered around after this big event of the year, we're going to be taking some more volume and we're going to be doing obviously some local meets in between there.
Right.
But the main priority is going to be building the volume of work needed to get to that Series 2 the next. So we're going to be trying to pick, you know, these big meets once a year to try to get everybody to go out to and
yeah.
building everything up around that.
Exactly. So yeah, in exactly a year from this July, it's going to be AO2 here in Albuquerque, which is exciting because Albuquerque is a decent sized city, but we just don't really have a lot of things to attract people here. And I think bringing the AO2 here is really beneficial for local weightlifting because a lot of the clubs here belong to CrossFit gyms. So they're kind of intermixed. Ours is just a weightlifting club, and I know High Desert Athletics has their own weightlifting club. And so there's not really a whole bunch that are attached, that are not attached to some kind of extra fitness facility, whether it's CrossFit or like a UFC gym or anything like that. So the surviving clubs use weightlifting as a supplement for their CrossFit athletes. And it'll be exciting because I know a lot of CrossFit athletes end up transitioning to weightlifting. So we might get a little bit more if they get a chance to compete in the AO series.
Yeah, it's definitely talking to a lot of the, you know, CrossFit converts that we have, you know, they're used to doing CrossFit competitions where they're going out for 2 days straight and beating themselves to death and really just like feel like trash at the end of a workout.
Yeah.
And after we had a few recent converts from CrossFit do their first meet at the New Mexico Championships, and they were like, man, I knew exactly what was going to happen. I didn't feel like I was dying.
Yeah.
I felt actually pretty good after the competition. I think that I might like this a little bit better. So just that, you know, knowing what you're going to be in for and not wanting to throw up at the end of the event goes a long way for, you know, getting people hooked. And it's, you know, once you do your first meet, you have, okay, what did I snatch? What did I clean and jerk? Those are all PRs in your first meet.
Yeah.
Every time after that, it's, can I do a couple more kilos? And if you keep doing a couple more kilos and have that long-term view we talked about, you can get pretty damn far.
Oh yeah, for sure. And weightlifting is a sport. So it's not just a fitness modality. It's something that requires specialization and dedication to, and I'm not saying that some of the all-encompassing fitness modalities aren't that. They can be at a high level. But a sport that's been contested in the Olympics for over 100 years, or 100 years roughly?
Yeah, I think it was 18-something.
Okay, so it's been around for a long time. One of the longest-standing strength sports in the world. And I think it's worth competing in. I think it's worth trying at least once and seeing if you like it or not. But so we're going to wrap this up. This is our first podcast episode. We're just feeling things out. But Grace and I are going to return, and we're going to tell you a little bit about ourselves, how we got to the point of building Strength Academy Weightlifting and the Albuquerque Strength Academy. We'll let you know the kind of roads that we took to end up in this place and go over some of our experiences and what our plans for the future are for both ourselves, the gym, and weightlifting.
Yeah, and we'll be covering, you know, a variety of topics, things that we do cover in our blog posts. We'll be gossiping current events, and we'll have a script Maybe. Don't hold me to that.
Yeah. But so if you have any questions or if there's anything that y'all want to talk about, there's a contact in our on our website. It's the Albuquerque Strength Academy or ASA Weightlifting. So we're willing to answer any questions. Also, if you are headed to AO3 and you are in New Mexico or anywhere in general, you might need some help. We are willing to help coach you just to get you through that experience if you don't have a coach with you. And I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to be, there's a lot to look forward to, and we'll have a lot more content for you all in the upcoming months, weeks.
Yeah, so let us know if you need someone to run your cards at the meet, if your coach can't make it. As long as you know what you want to hit, we'll keep you on track. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening to episode half.
All right, y'all. Take care. Until next time, happy lifting.